In the beginning of this show, I told you about this mission I am on. Over the course of 19 chapters, I wanted to tell you stories from my life, the lessons I have learned through swimming and falling and flying. I also wanted to bring you stories from other people in other places in the world. Stories to help us remember the sweetness of life, everyday acts of kindness, and the differences we can make in the world around us. Together we have met wizards in New Zealand, caught ducklings in Washington, traveled across the world on bicycle, and I have taken you through my hometown, Shimla. Today, I want to do something different. Instead of bringing two stories together, I want to tell you about the many people connected by a single story, my father's. So today is about my dad and how through trains, newspapers, and the mall road, his light reached every corner of our little town. Welcome to Anupam Cares, Chapter 20, Live Life. My father Pushkarnath Kher was full of kindness. He always said, the easiest thing in the world is to make somebody else happy. And he practiced it in ways big and small. When my father would go out to buy groceries, if he met somebody on the way home and they said, Pushkarnath ji, what's in your bag? Pushkarnath ji, what are you carrying? He would say, oh, I'm carrying eggs or whatever it was that day. And then he would suddenly realize, maybe this man also needs eggs. So he would take out 4 or 5 eggs and give them to him.
Thank you, ji.
This was how my father bought groceries.
Thank you.
He sometimes came home empty-handed and was greeted by a very heavy hand from my mother. They used to have major arguments about it. My mother would say, what the hell is wrong with you? You're basically taking those things from our home, and my father would say he needed it also, so I gave it to him. Of course, sometimes this generosity got him in trouble. One day, my father bought 2 lipsticks for my mother, and when he was heading back home, he ran into a local woman, Mrs. Malhotra. And when she asked what he was carrying, he ended up giving her one of the lipsticks.
Thank you, Pushkarnath bhai sir.
It was the biggest mistake of his life. That was the day my mother really gave it to him. She said, how dare you give lipstick to somebody? And he would say, what will you do with 2 lipsticks? And that's how it always went. Even today, my mother says that he was too charitable. And it's a complaint. But he would say, Pansha panasi teman. What do I need to save money for? Let's give it to people. Nobody takes money for himself or herself up there. My father did funny little things too. Once he stole my phone and raided my directory. He copied down every actor's number and soon he began to call them up.
Hanji? Hello, Anil Kapoor. I'm Pushkarnath.
Huh?
Pushkarnath Kher. I'm Anupam's father. Yes. How are you? Everybody fine? Family fine? Father fine, mother fine, wife fine, kids fine.
Over time, he befriended so many famous actors, Jackie Shroff, Dharmender. And like me, my father wouldn't mind the spotlight. He would get into every picture he could. He would even take pictures with my fans on his phone. Then he would take down the fans' phone number and send them the photos. He was a funny man. And he had a big heart. So now that you know a little about him, I'm going to start this story at the end and tell you about my last moments with my father. In 2012, my father got very sick. He was taking antibiotics and he had a rare reaction. The antibiotics changed his ability to taste. So water became like acid and food became like sand. Over the course of a few months, my father began to starve. We took him to the hospital and did everything we could. The doctor gave him food through tubes and infused him with vitamins. But this condition only worsened. Eventually, the doctor said, there's nothing more we can do. Of course, this broke my heart. But my mother, my brother Raju, and I knew we had to be brave for my father. So we took him home and made him as comfortable as we could. Some time passed, and I was invited to a wedding in Goa. I was hesitant to go too far from home. My dad didn't seem to be getting better, but he also didn't seem to be getting any worse. So I decided to go. But as I was preparing to leave, my brother called. He said,
he wants to talk to you.
I canceled my trip. When I got home, Raju was standing outside of my father's room. He said, he wants to say something. And he's insisting that he will only tell you. I took a deep breath and entered. By the time, he had very little energy left. It was too hard for him to speak. But I saw there was a blank piece of paper and a pen on his chest. I went to his side and said, Papa, I'm here. Vainimara, kya chu bolun? You wanted to tell me something? With great difficulty, he nodded his head. Then he started writing something. He even hid the paper from me so that I couldn't see what he was writing. It was hard for me to watch. His movements were slow and labored. But every so often he would look up with an expression that seemed to say, don't you peek, no cheating, which made me smile. Though he was weak, his spirit was strong as ever. When he finished writing, he let the note fall to his chest. I slowly reached for the paper. I wasn't sure if I was ready to read what he had to tell me. But when I turned the note over, I saw there were only faint lines dragged across the paper. No words. I looked at my father, who was staring at me expectantly. In his mind, he thought he had written me a message, but in reality, he didn't have the energy to actually form letters on the page. I didn't know what to do. My father was clearly waiting for an answer. I had no idea what he had written. The last thing I wanted to do was to make him feel defeated. So I said, yes, yes. Of course, Papa, you're right. You're right, of course. My father's face fell. He was disappointed. My mind raced, trying to figure out how else could I respond to this mystery message. But our interaction had exhausted my father. He closed his eyes and drifted off to sleep. As he slept, I turned the paper upside down and sideways, trying to understand. I left his room consumed by curiosity and then guilt. I worried that I had missed my only chance to hear my father's last words. At various moments in my life, my father had caught me in a lie, and each time he had taught me the importance of honesty. I was going to prove to him that I had listened. Later, I went back to my father's room and waited for him to wake up. When he opened his eyes, I said quickly, I'm sorry, Papa, I couldn't read what you wrote to me. But I want to understand, what did you want to tell me? My father opened his mouth, and I leaned in very close. And with all of his strength, he whispered two words. Live life. Those were his last two words to me. 20 minutes later, my father passed away. At that time, all I wanted was to be alone and let his words sink in. But there was no time. We needed to plan the funeral. Raju and I wanted to spare my mother this burden, so we decided to sort the details ourselves. A traditional Hindu funeral is supposed to be very, very solemn. All the guests dress in white. We sing somber hymns. That's what Raju and I had intended to do. We sat down to plan the ceremony. But as we did, I couldn't get my father's words out of my head. Live life. Live life. Live life. Suddenly I blurted out, I think we should book a rock band. Rock band? Pagal hai bittu? Raju looked at me like I had lost my senses. I repeated myself, I think we should call a rock band who will sing our father's favorite songs. And let's tell people to wear colorful clothes. What are you talking about? Raju asked, confused. Think of who our father was. We should not mourn his loss. We should celebrate his life. So we called everyone and said,
in 4 days, we are going to have a prayer ceremony. Please come, and when you come, please wear your most colorful clothes and bring your funniest stories of my father. We want to honor his memory with joy and laughter.
The day of the ceremony, I began to second-guess myself. Did I make a mistake? What if the concept was too strange? What if no one shows up? I was getting nervous. To take my mind off the service, I decided to pick up a copy of my dad's favorite Shimla newspaper, the Divya Himachal. This newspaper was local. I mean, really local. To put it into US terms, if Divya Himachal was in New York, it would be printed in Queens and be called the Queens Necklace and only cover news from a 3-block radius. Divya Himachal was something like that. But my father was obsessed with this newspaper, and he and I used to bicker about its importance. I would tell him about a fantastic review of one of my films, and my father would say, Divya Himachal, kya sach liku mudar mutlak? What does Divya Himachal have to say about it? I would invite him to a premiere of a movie I had starred in, and he would say, I will see the film after the Divya Himachal review is published. I could have been written up in Time magazine, but my father would say, talk to me when you are in Divya Himachal. There was one time when I was talking to my father and I told him that I felt like I had entered a golden period in my career. But to this, my father said, I don't know, Bittu. I have not seen anything about you in Divya Himachal lately. Can you believe it? So I told him, fine, I want to talk to the editor of Divya Himachal and settle this once for all. So the next day, my father called me from Divya Himachal editor's office. The editor, who was probably only a part-time editor and a full-time street sweeper, practically fell off his chair when I answered the phone. I told him,
so listen here, Mr. Editor, if you don't carry one story about me each week for the rest of your life, I am going to have to buy your newspaper and write the stories myself.
So from that day on, it became my manager's job to send the editor some material on me. Oh, the rubbish it used to carry. Today, Anupam Kher smiled. This weekend, Anupam Kher took a walk. But when I opened Divya Himachal on the day of my father's prayer ceremony, an obituary for my father was on the front page. The article began, we will not see Pushkar Nath on the streets of Mall Road now. The obituary carried on for 3 pages. In that moment, I was overwhelmed with emotion. I knew that there were plenty of people like this editor who had crossed paths with my father and had some memory, something they needed to say about him. And by sharing these stories, we would truly be honoring his life. At that moment, I knew that even if no one came to this strange service, it was the right thing to do. But everyone came. We held the service in the Hare Rama Hare Krishna temple. It was an auditorium that could hold a couple hundred people, but on the day, more than 600 people packed in for the service. Relatives, neighbors, local vendors, directors, film stars, the ex-chief minister of Kashmir. Every chair was full and people were even spilling into the aisles and sitting on the stairs. When the service began, I got up in front of all these people mourning and I told the funniest stories I could think of. I told them about the bread seller. I told them about the pineapple pastries. I told them about two lipsticks. This was not done at Indian prayer ceremonies. And I went on, and everyone laughed. And they laughed hard. People were falling from their seats. And after me, more people got on stage. My wife told hilarious stories. Then my first director, Mahesh Bhatt, got on stage and made me laugh until tears rolled down my face.
The other thing which is common with Pushkar Nabhi and me is we never hesitated to put our hands into Anupam Kher's wallet. In fact, I would often go to Pushkar Nabhi and say, "Paise deta hai aajkal aapko? Kisi nahi deta. Itna rais ho raha, main sada kanjoos ho raha."
And then there was the band. When I first suggested booking the rock band, Raju had looked at me funnily. And yes, we did get a rock band. They weren't playing Led Zeppelin though. I'd asked them to play all of my father's favorite Bollywood songs. Jaane wo kaise log the jinke pyar ko pyar mila. But instead of playing the tune slowly and mournfully, I asked the band to play them fast. Jaane wo kaise log the jinke pyar ko pyar mila. That was a celebration. So we laughed, and we danced, and we sang, and I knew my father would have loved it. After the service, crowds of people came up to me to talk about my dad. A stranger came up to me and said, "Do you remember getting a call at 2:30 a.m. in the morning from your father on a train asking you to speak to a passenger?" "Yes," I said slowly. "That was me," the man said excitedly. "Your father entered the coach compartment and announced, 'Everyone, do you know whose father I am? Anupam Kher.' I must admit, I laughed at your father. He heard me laughing and said, 'You don't believe me? Then I'll prove it to you.' Then he called you at 2:30 in the morning and he called you something. I don't remember." "Bittu," I answered. "Yes, Bittu," your father said. "Bittu, talk to this man. He doesn't believe that I am your father." So you got on the line.
"Hello."
But I didn't recognize your voice, probably because you were so sleepy. So I said, "Okay, Anupam ji."
"Hello."
"How do I know you are really Anupam Kher? Give me some famous dialogue from one of your films." And then in the middle of the night, you gave me a monologue.
"Rana Vishwapratap Singh, Dr. Dang creates war."
"Yes, yes, you are Anupam Kher. Hello, hello. Namaste, namaste." At this, the stranger and I started quoting lines to each other like long-lost co-stars, giggling the entire time.
"Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dil ka dialogue sahi hai.
Arre, wo Ram Lakhan ka dialogue sahi hai na."
"Arre, Kashi Ram, Kashi Ram. Anda, anda nahi bol sakta tha."
Then the Shimla mailman came up and said, "Hey, Anupam ji, remember how your dad would send you letters addressed to Anupam Kher, the film star, Bombay?" I think he did that just so I could get a laugh. Then one person told me that my father had been sending him 500 rupees a month for the last 10 years. And then another person came up to me and told me the same thing. And then another. Until at least 20 people told me the same story of my father's quiet generosity. I had been sending money home to my father for about the same amount of time. And now I knew where the money was really going. By the end of the day, there was a long line of people waiting to talk to me about my father. But instead of a queue, I saw the streets of Shimla. In every face, I saw a house, or a shop, or a school, some part of the city that my father had reached. And so laid out before me, I saw the whole map of my home. But most notably, my mother approached me. My mother and father had been married for 59 years. She lost not only her husband, but her lifelong companion, her best friend. I was most worried for her. But throughout the whole service, she was cracking up. She roared with laughter from my stories. After the ceremony, she said to me and Raju, "Thank you for celebrating your father's life like this. I did not know I was married to such a great man. Bhagwan Thavnar khosh se hamesha. May God bless you." I say this often when I speak about my dad. I think many people in my line of work would overlook my father's story. No one in the industry is racing to make a film about his life. He wasn't rich or famous, but he was extraordinary. And as I looked around an auditorium that was buzzing with love for him, I knew it was because he had followed his own advice. The same advice he passed down to me, and the same advice I'm passing down to you. Live life. That's all for this season. I'm Anupam Kher. Be kind to yourself. And thank you for listening. Anupam Kher is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Anupam Kher. Our executive producer is Mangesh Hathikudur. Senior producer Julian Weller, associate producer Morgan Lavoy, sound design and mixing by Julian Weller and Dan Bauza, music by Aaron Kaufman, production support from Emily Marinoff and Mary Dew, writing by Lucas Riley, Matt Riddle, Morgan Lavoy, and Julian Weller. Lucas Riley and Matt Riddle are our story editors. Thanks to Sikin Paru, Herman D'Souza, Godwin Amana, CDM Studios, Connell Byrne, and Bob Pittman.
Live. Live dangerously, live fiercely, live completely.
And a sense of wonder, which is something that every human being loses. It's so important to retain that.